Welcome to today's podcast, Design for Life. Life wasn't created at a whim, nor should we live that way. This podcast is taken from the Sunday message. It is designed to strengthen the believer's walk and those who have not come to faith to recognize God has designed life to be lived with purpose. I am Pastor David, the assistant pastor at Bethel Gilead Community Church, also known as the Church on Block Road. Here is Pastor Jim with this week's message, The New Year's Approach, What's New?
Got a bulletin. Why don't you turn to the inside cover? Let's pick up kind of a new theme here. As we mentioned with the kids, we're rounding the corner and heading into the new year. I think we've got some work to do in the area of 2024. I think it would be to our advantage to really pre-think what kind of year could this be? And what would it be specifically, or what specifically would God want to do in your life and in my life, or through your life and through my life in this coming year? You know, we have a greeting. We do this in English. We ask questions frequently, and it's just kind of a formality of saying hi to someone, but we use different phrases. How's it going is one of those. That's really not meant to be expounded on. That's your polite answer is okay or fine, or, you know, to get on with it. One of those is the question, what's new? Hey, what's new? You know the answer, don't you? Not much. Most people will defer to that because they haven't got time to tell you, again, about all the things that are coming down the pike. What's new? You know, as Christians, we have an excellent answer to that question because there's so much that God is about that's new. He's all about new things, newness of life, renewal. You'll find it out throughout the Bible, that theme, new. For the Christian, everything's new. That Christmas angel, when he presented himself to the shepherds, back in Luke chapter 2. Behold, I bring you good news. This is something new, has yet to be announced. You're first. The news. Well, you watch news, and it's pretty much a rerun, isn't it, these days? There's not a whole lot of new news on TV. But I guarantee you that Christianity and the gospel is good news. Isn't it? It's something new. It's a new covenant that God has made with humanity. And he sealed the deal in his own son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus came to give us a new start. He called it the new birth. To fulfill what Isaiah and Ezekiel had said about God giving us a new heart and a new spirit, his spirit within us. And he gave his disciples a new commandment that vicariously falls on you and I today as well, to love one another as he's loved us. He promised new lives to those who would follow him. And ultimately, the Bible says there will be a new heaven and a new earth. In fact, it concludes in Revelation chapter 21 with these words. The strong angel steps forward. He says, behold, I'm making all things, what? New. Renewal. That's God's gig. That's what he's about. I think he wants to do something new in your life in 2024. He specializes in newness of life and restoration and renewal. 2 Corinthians 5:17, God has given you and I a new identity if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. If anyone is in Christ, Paul writes, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he or she is what? A new creature, creation. Old things pass away. Let them go. The old. Boy, it's easy to dig it up, isn't it? And kind of rehearse the past and old things, sometimes bad things. And God says, I just want to let that all go. Behold, all things are made. There's our word. New. 2 Corinthians 5:17. He gives you a new essence. We saw this verse a week ago. We were talking about light. Paul writes to the Ephesians, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. A whole new sense or essence of being light. Live as children of the light. Live out your identity, the essence of who you are. He gives us a new mission. Let me look this one up because there's so much here. In fact, I think this is kind of like Paul's New Year's resolution verse. We'll get over there in a minute when we revisit the verse. Philippians chapter 3. I don't even know where to start in chapter 3. There's so much here. Let's pick up in verse 10. Paul writes to the Philippian church, I want to know Christ. Now, that's the second time he said that. The previous paragraph, he says, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. The greatest thing in my life, Paul says, is to know God through Jesus Christ. Would you say the same? Could that be true for you? Ideally, it should be, but very possibly there's a whole list of things that could rival knowing him, your relationship with God. Paul says, for me, that's everything. Everything else is secondary compared to. And so he says it again, verse 10, I want to know Christ, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of suffering or sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. Boy, that's a mouthful. There's a lot there. But suffice it to say that Paul's desire, the essence of his heart, of his life, is his relationship with God. The fulfillment of that in every respect. Verse 12, not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. God got my attention, he said, and now I'm attending to his business. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. He says that twice, doesn't he? But one thing I do, this is primary for me, Paul says, this is number one, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. What a guy. What a focus. That's living with resolution or being resolute in your commitment, as we could say. He uses the word pressing on twice. I'm pushing forward. You know, a lot of people just want to go with flow, kind of go with the current, the common current of culture. Well, there's a difference between a live fish and a dead fish. If you've been down to a river lately, dead fish float with the current. Have you noticed that? They kind of go with the flow. What's the difference between a dead fish and a live fish? Live fish swim countercurrent, invariably. They're facing upstream. They're moving forward. You going with the flow? Are you swimming countercurrent? Countercultural many times for us as Christians, isn't it? I'm pressing on to the goal. It's my relationship with God through Jesus Christ. He gives us a new direction, new identity, a new essence, a new mission. Boy, the Old Testament book of Isaiah. Love this passage. In fact, I like all the 40s in Isaiah. 41, 42, 43, 44. They're just powerful passages from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. But Isaiah chapter 43, picking up in verse 18, you find these words. Isaiah writes, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Boy, that's the third time that we've been told that in the verses that we've seen here. Have you noticed that? I think you can learn from the past. Just don't make the mistake of living in the past. And there's a difference, isn't there? And there's all kinds of people who are stuck in the past for whatever reason, variety of reasons. Saddest amongst those is guilt. Or tragedy that's occurred, and they've never recovered from that. Guilt in the sense of something I've done wrong. Oftentimes associated with guilt is anger, bitterness over what's been done to me in the past. And God wants to set you free from that. easily so he can do that. Learn from the past, but don't live in it. Forget the former things, Isaiah writes. Don't dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Here's our word. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Boy, in the context, we'd have to go back to Isaiah's day and think about what God was doing in Israel. But, you know, principally, I think we can pull the same idea today and say, God, what are you doing in America? What are you doing in Branch County? What are you doing in my family? What are you doing in me that's new? Is there something new that you're about that you want to do in me? And as of yet, I haven't perceived it. Don't you perceive it? Can't you see it? He says, I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert, streams in the wasteland, and give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I've formed for myself that they may proclaim my praise. Boy, we talked about light as being a metaphor last week. Water is as well. We can't appreciate that because you and I live in the state that has more water than anywhere in the world. Within 2 hours of you, anywhere in Michigan, you have at your access the greatest reservoirs of fresh water that the earth can provide. There is no place besides Michigan that has all the fresh water in the world. Imagine the money we could make in the Middle East selling water, bottling the Great Lakes. Well, I don't know if they'd want to drink it or not, at least some of the lakes. Fresh water. You live in Branch County or Steuben County, 101 lakes. Spring-fed natural lakes. We've got so much water available to us. We can't appreciate what they only could understand. Living in the desert, some of the most deserted places and dry places, arid places in the world, the Middle East. And so when they talk about water, it's the essence of life. You cannot survive without it. They didn't have faucets to turn on and water bottles and bottled water in grocery stores. You had to walk down to the well 5 miles down the road and drop a bucket and carry it home. It was basic and essential. And it's always symbolic of God, specifically his spirit, the presence of God, and his providence for you. Streams in the desert, wastelands, water to drink. He says it's springing up around you. Do you see it? Do you perceive it? It's a new direction, perhaps, that God wants to give you in your life. Right now, today, this new year. It's a new thing. You know, it's too easy to get stuck in the status quo, isn't it? It's safe to stay in the status quo. A lot of people do for that reason. They're afraid to take any new risks, venture forth. The same old, same old. You know what I'm talking about? You and I are creatures of habit. We almost prefer that predictability, don't we? Somebody says, if you do what you've always done, you'll get what you've always. There's a problem with that for us as Christians because we become easily enmeshed in mediocrity. I worked on that one. Three M's there. Easily enmeshed in mediocrity. Well, maybe just two M's. Meshed, mediocrity. Isn't that true? That's human nature, isn't it? It's too easy to do, to get stuck in a rut. And I think God wants to get you out of a rut if that's where you're at. I think he wants you to move forward, maybe into some new territory in 2024. It's a new year. Maybe God is hoping for a new you as well. Reinvent yourself. Change is challenging. It's a little bit scary, as I suggested a moment ago. However, it's inevitable. You're going to change whether you like it or not. All of us are. Change is all around us. Sometimes change is positive and sometimes it's negative. You see a kid that you haven't seen for a year or two or 10. And automatically you marvel over the changes in that kid's life. Boy, you've grown up. I wouldn't have recognized you. Wow, don't you look great? You see an old person that you haven't seen in a while, for a year or two or 10. And you hate to admit, not looking so good these days. You're changing. It's decline, isn't it? That hits all of us ultimately. Change can be positive or it can be negative. It's seldom neutral. You're either growing or you're declining. And I think there's truth to that in the spiritual field as well. Not all change is improvement. However, it is impossible to improve something if you don't change it. So if you're going to improve your life, or let me say it like this, if God wants to improve your life this year, he's got to change something about you. Something has to change in us, in you, in order for there to be an improvement. The good news is God says, listen, I've got what it takes to help you make those changes, those improvements in your life this year. He's given us all kinds of resources. Lamentations really spells out what I think is the essence of this. Lamentations chapter 3, let me just read it for you. Yet I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope, Jeremiah says. Now, Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet in the Old Testament. He preached for 40 years with no converts. Nobody heeded his message. What a loser. How would you like to attend his church? He was faithful to the mission that God had given him. He was kind of like the last resort. He said, I want you to speak, whether they listen to me or not, I want you to speak the truth. And he did. And he writes a book called Lamentations, lamenting the straits, the situation, what's happening. And in the middle of chapter 3, he says, yet I call this to mind, therefore I have hope. I remind myself of something that gives me hope. Here it is. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. Perhaps you know the next line. For they are, here's our word, new. When? Every morning. God renews his love and compassion for you on a daily basis. Aren't you glad for that? The renewal that comes through God's love and his compassion. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So I say to myself, Jeremiah speaks or writes, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. It's a matter of timing. In his case, quite possibly it is for you as well. His steadfast love, his mercies or compassions, as it's stated here, are new every day. God wants to renew your life, and he's giving you the resources because he loves you and is compassionate to do that on a daily basis. I like the way Peter spells it out. Boy, 800 years later, 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter writes these words, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Let me rephrase that. God's power has given you and me everything we need to live godly lives. There's no excuses for you or for me. You've got what you need to comply with God's will. Just to reinforce that, he gives you his spirit. It's a deposit. It's a down payment to a guarantee that God's going to carry forth his plan in your life if you'll simply collaborate with him. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. You've got what you need to live a godly life, to live the life that God intends for you to live. So what's necessary at this point? I think it's faith and obedience. Or as the song, the old hymn goes, trust and obey. It's the left hand and the right hand that got to work together. Trust and obedience. Faith and obedience. It's following through, following suit with what God has stated, what he's promising to do if you'll simply trust him and obey. So 2024, let's round the corner here. What kind of personal improvements, what kind of changes might God want to make in your life? Well, I like a little scheme that I use. It's the three R's: roles, relationships, responsibilities. You'll notice it there in your outline. But I also included some homework this morning. I want you to hand this in next week. I'll grade them and get them back to you. Pull this out for a minute. I'll give you an assignment, something practical to do. Doing a lot of talking here, and really what's needed is a little more think work, speculation, inspecting yourself and determining, God, what is it that you're saying to me personally? I've given you 6 points here with 6 passages of Scripture, and I'd like for you to take time today or tomorrow, if possible. It's possible that somebody wouldn't have a half hour to spare today. I'm guessing you're going to have probably more than that if you set aside the time. It's possible tomorrow. I know it's New Year's Day, but you might not have much spare time getting ready for the big game. Boy, Alabama, they are, I don't know, what are you thinking here? You praying, anybody? That's the Bible Belt. I got to tell you, they pray down there for their football teams and before they play football. So Michigan better be on its toes. You don't know what they're getting into. They've done it before, haven't they, Alabama? Why not take a half hour, 45 minutes, and do a little survey of yourself in several different areas? Ephesians 6:10 there, I'm going to ask the question, what challenges are you facing this new year? Look at the parameters there within your mental or emotional life, physically. Some of you have got some real challenges health-wise. Spiritually, in terms of your faith, is your faith waning or waxing? What's happening spiritually? Relationships. Maybe there's a certain someone in your life that's making you or life miserable. It's a challenge in this coming year. Occupationally, possibly at work, on what you do. I would encourage you with a pen or a pencil in hand to do some writing, maybe to choose one or a couple of those areas and write what you think is a real challenge that you're facing. Number two, what can I change, adjust, or improve from 2023? Wouldn't hurt to look back and do a little evaluating. Let's not stay back, but let's look back. Here's where the R's come in for me. My life roles. Every one of you wears several hats in life. We call those your life roles. In my case, number one hat that I wear, and I'm going to suggest it's the most important hat that you wear, is I'm a Christian. That's principle. That's primary. My relationship with God. I'm a man of God. You're a woman or man of God. You wear that hat. How did it go as a believer this past year? Relationships relate to the role, in this case, my relationship with God. And responsibilities, I just suggested faith and obedience, follow through, living out my faith, my relationship with God. Second hat that I wear, it's number two for me, is I'm married. And the relationship is my wife, Kim, who happens to be home with a sinus infection this morning, sadly. What are my responsibilities in that relationship, and how well have I complied or fulfilled those in 2023? Little think work there. Might even need to ask a question or two of her. The third hat that I wear is I'm a dad. I'm a father. Got kids, and now I have grandkids multiplying. The relationship with each of them and my responsibilities before God to my family. Fourth hat that I wear is I'm a pastor, in case you're wondering. It's my professional hat. It's not first. I hate to tell you, you're not first. You're not second, and you're not third. When I get around to it, I'll prep a message, and we'll have something to do for Sunday. It's the only role I get paid to do. I'm trying to figure out how to make money as a dad and a as a husband. It just hasn't happened yet. What kind of responsibilities have I got before God to a congregation of people? Now, you'll notice I inserted a fourth R there, and it's my weekly routine. It helps me to realize that I'm really the product of habit. What I do habitually, regularly, produces all kinds of things in me, good and bad. So in each of those roles, it might not hurt to go back and look at your routine, because there may be a place where you need to change your weekly routine, do something intentionally differently than you've been doing up until that time. Number two. Number three, how can I bring more light into my lifestyle? I inserted this again from last week. We were talking about light as representing God and godliness. And I kind of like this just to creatively to think about light in my life in terms of truth and virtue, goodness and beauty. And looking back and saying, what was my mindset? What did I feed my mind this past year? Mentally, intellectually, in terms of my attitudes, and to what avail or with what effect? Virtue, in terms of my character, my personality, integrity. Goodness, as it relates to others, my kindness, generosity, and service to others. My wife worked as a waitress for a year or two back in her college days, and she leans on me every time we go out to eat. You going to leave a good tip? You're going to leave a good tip, aren't you? How much did you leave? I can guarantee you she's going to ask me about the tip. She's really pushing that generosity. Are you going to be generous or not? Are you willing to give and to help somebody else in a simple way, in service to others? Notice beauty. I love this one. I'll lighten up your life a little. Bring some light into your life by getting outdoors this year, spending more time in nature. Music. Monitor the music that you listen to. I remember Bill Bright saying this years ago. He says, the first thing I do when I roll out of bed after checking in with God is I turn on a praise and worship tape, because I want music to flow in my life and around me as I start my day. And he says, it sets the tone for my day. Listening to godly things. Art. The arts. And laughter, in terms of beauty. Isn't it great to have a good laugh now and then? If it's been too long, if it's been a while, you need to figure out how to instill some laughter into your life. Check in with me afterwards. I'll give you a couple of good ideas in that department. Notice number four on the back. Is God seeking to do something new in and through me? There's that verse from Isaiah, a new thing. I don't know. Why don't you ask him? God, is there something specific, something special, something new that you want to do in or through me in 2024? Why don't you wait and see? How well am I living out my new identity in Christ? I think we're going to go there here probably February and March when I get into some of Paul's epistles and just look at that theme of in Christ and who we are in Christ. Powerful theme. And then finally, what do I need to press on and finish in the coming year? Look back and say, what's pending? Unfinished business. Is there something that I probably ought to move forward with and finish now in 2024? How many of you are up for the challenge? Anybody besides me? Bring your homework next week. We'll talk about it then. See what God has to say as far as this coming year. Isaiah 40, verse 31, really reminds us that those who wait upon the Lord can experience renewal. Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Boy, the older I get, the less, the more I realize I need strength. Energy conservation. Used to be time, now it's energy for me. Have I got the energy sufficient for what's needed? God says, I'll tell you what, why don't you just wait? We want to start and get going, don't we? And God says, I don't want you to do anything before waiting. He told his disciples, wait in Jerusalem. He's taken off to heaven. And he tells his disciples, not yet. You're going to have to wait until the Spirit descends, until the right time. It was the day of Pentecost. There was a reason for that, because that was the harvest festival in Israel. And there were thousands of people, pilgrims, that had come to Jerusalem. And it was at that moment that said, we're going to start Pentecost through the power of the Spirit. And so they did. Seen the verse or the phrase a couple of times in a couple of verses. Wait on the Lord and renew your strength. You know, God probably spends more time waiting on us than any of us do waiting on him. Hurry up and wait. Wait. God says, I want to bring renewal. I'll strengthen your life in a way that's never been done. This could be your year. It could be God's work. You need strength to continue the race? Boy, we all do, don't we? Have you got time to wait upon the Lord? I think he'd love for you to take some time out, even starting out the new year this week, and do just that, giving you a little worksheet, some scripture maybe that could guide the process as you wait upon him. And then finally, what new thing might God want to do in and through you in 2024? We're going to ask that question of the church, part two, next week. We'll make it plural, us. What is it that God wants to do in and through us as a congregation? And likewise, the assignment that he's giving us, I think, is to wait and see. It's to wait upon him. It's to look to him to see what exactly he says. And ultimately what he does. Lord, we thank you for the finish of 2023 and the providence that we acknowledge today, your providence in so many ways. We know that you are faithful, but you've proven it to us over and over. But we ask, Lord, that you would renew our strength individually as individuals, our willingness to love and honor and serve you, to follow you in these days. And I pray, Lord, for myself, and I pray for each of us that as a result, you would do something very personal and permanent in our hearts in such a way that it would change our lives, a new thing, something good, and that it would flow from us, overflow from us, like water, like streams in the desert, and it would make its way to other people's lives as well. We know that you can do just that. You've told us so in Scripture. So, Lord, I pray for just the renewal, the newness that you can give in each of our hearts and lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for spending time to listen to today's podcast, Design for Life. If you enjoy listening to this podcast, let me encourage you to donate to this ministry. you will find a donate tab at BethelGilead.org. Until then, go out and experience the design for life as God's ambassadors commissioned to a world in need of the gospel. God bless.